So we're doing Shabbat, the 19th chapter, the third Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Machitzin et haKatan." We watch the baby. We pour a little bit of water and we splash it here and we splash it there. We don't do it the ordinary way, but we do find an unusual way to wash him. Then lifnamina uvenna chaomila, be it before the bris in preparation, or after the bris where he really needs it.
Where does it say
unusual? In the Rabbeinu Vadya Mibartanura. And the Mishnah explains now, how is it that we wash him, that we drip the water on him with the hands? Mizalefin is to drip on him. Avalo v'cheli. But you don't use an instrument to drip on him the water. Even if you're going to drip and do it in an unusual way, Chazal say, don't do that. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, machitzin et haKatan b'yom ha-shlishi shechal liyot b'Shabbat. On the third day that comes out on Shabbos, then you wash him ordinarily. And not only the third day, but the second day and the first day and the day. Meaning, let's say his bris milah was on Wednesday. Say of Wednesday, or sorry, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. The third day is Shabbos, if it's on a Thursday. So Rav Loz ben Zari says you could wash him for the milah, and up to 3 days after the milah you could wash him in a normal way, hot water, cold water. Why? Because this is sakanas nefashos. The baby needs to be washed, so we don't start trying to find ways around it. And we paskin like Rav Loz ben Zari. Yes, and if you don't have water, if you don't have water that was heated before Shabbos, then you heat up water on Shabbos itself. And this is Rav Elazar ben Zari's opinion, that it's a danger for the baby to go without a warm bath after the bris milah. And it seems that in ancient times this was really the case. Today we have good heating, we have everything we need. The instructions we give parents after the bris is, don't bathe the baby so fast. Wait, let the area heal, you'll bathe them tomorrow. We do it differently. But in Chazal's time, this was part of the cure, part of helping the baby make it out of the bris. So that's what Rav Loz ben Zari says. You can wash him however is necessary up to 3 days after the bris.
You can even light a fire.
If necessary, because we consider that pikuach nefesh. Ideally, you should prepare it before Shabbos. If something happened and you didn't have it prepared, so you find out another way to get hot water. Hopefully, you won't have to desecrate Shabbos for that. Shenemah, because the pasuk says in our parsha, "Vayhi vayom ha-shlishi biyotam koavim," on the third day, when they were writhing in pain. So this pasuk indicates that even on the third day, the people are still writhing in pain from the bris, and therefore we have to take care of them.
I would have thought that's only for adults.
What?
I would have thought for adults. I thought children are more, stronger.
It's a good point. It's a very good point.
Or the other way around, that 8 day old baby may be weaker.
Oh, that's also a good point.
No.
Both points are true. There's an aspect for each one. Yeah. Safek. If you have a baby that you're not sure if he's born prematurely and you're not sure if he's going to make it all together, you have a baby like that, van deroginus, and a baby that has andro, male, genus, female signs. That's a Greek word, androgenus, right? He has both male and female signs.
What's safek?
Safek is a baby that you're not sure whether he's going to live. He's, in general, irrelevant of the bris milah. So when you have a safek or an androgynous in Hebrew, ein mechalelin alav et haShabbat. So for such a baby, we would not desecrate Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, why should we? Rabbi Yehuda Matir.
You always have to give a chance for life.
Right.
Maximum extent.
Fine, but there's no reason.
No.
The idea is we're not mechal Shabbos to do bris for him. We don't do bris for him on Shabbos. No.
So I think that's an important point to mention.
Right. Okay.
Don't keep washing.
Sorry, I thought that was obvious. I'm sorry.
Right.
And mechalin lav to Shabbat.
Wait.
Huh?
We don't do a bris on Shabbat for him. No, even if it's the 8th day.
Correct.
We postpone the bris.
Correct. We say in mechallin lavta Shabbat means we don't desecrate Shabbos for him. Right. We would not make a bris for him on Shabbos. A bris involves chil Shabbos. The Torah tells us you do a bris for a situation that's a normal situation. A situation that's an abnormal situation. Maybe the kid won't live. Maybe the kid isn't completely male. He's got female signs too. So we say, okay, that kid we do not do on Shabbos. It's a machlokas how we read the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda says, when the Torah said, Himol lachem kol zachar, circumcise for yourself all males, what does it mean all males? It came to include even males that have female genitals as well. So that's why the pasuk said all males. And therefore, he holds that we would desecrate Shabbos to do bris milah even for an androgynous.
Would you wash him?
Yeah, yeah. Once we do bris milah, so we do...
On the third day, for a suffix or androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
We're only talking about bris milah.
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah is talking about at this point. Sorry, I wasn't clear. It was so obvious, I didn't think to mention it. But you're right. Okay.
Wait for that.
We're waiting.
Why would it be...
Mishnah Dalet is predicated on the following understanding. That... Sure. Who are we dedicating to? Tell me the names. I don't know the names. I don't remember. Avraham Moshe ben Miriam Tova Shav Refash Leman. Our learning should be to Zchut. And Eliasaf ben Nurit. So, the Torah tells us that when a child is 8 days old, we have a mitzvah to do bris milah, even at the expense of Shabbos. But the only time a bris milah is performed on Shabbos is if it's a bris milah on the 8th day, and we know for sure that this baby requires a bris milah on this day. Meaning, if a baby is born in twilight, he's born Friday afternoon, the wife lit candles, and then 2 minutes later the baby's in her arms. So then we say, wait a second, when was he born? Before Shabbos or on Shabbos? If he was born on Shabbos, then he must have a bris on Shabbos and it pushes off Shabbos. If he was born on Friday, then he has to have a bris on Friday. On a regular day, if he was born on twilight between Monday and Tuesday, so we'd say do it on Tuesday. Because if he had to have it on Monday, it's still kosher on Tuesday. But if, let's say, he has to have it on Tuesday and you do it on Monday, that's not kosher. Child who has his bris before 8 days, not a kosher bris. So we always say do the next day. When in doubt, take the next one.
Hospitals, they wait 8 days with the mother or bring him back?
Here in Israel, they bring him back. If it's a Jewish baby, I mean, the Arabs do the bris milah when he's a day or 2 days old. They do it like right away.
Do it at 13.
Some do.
Some cheat.
So,
which
when the baby is a day or 2 days old, the government will do it for them in the hospital. So a lot do it there, and that's it. So our Mishnah is talking about a situation where you have one baby that needs a bris milah on the 8th day, and he was certainly born on Shabbos. And then you have another baby that's supposed to have his bris milah on Sunday. He was born on Sunday. And then they get mixed. So the Mishnah says like this: Mishayu lo shnei tinokot. The moel has two babies, and he has to circumcise both of them. Echad lamul achar Shabbat. One is supposed to have his bris milah on Sunday. Vechad lamul ba Shabbat. One is supposed to have his bris milah on Shabbos. Now the couples they live in a complex. They live in the same building. They all get together for the bris, and the moel takes the wrong baby. V'shachach umalit shelachar b'Shabbat b'Shabbat. He takes the baby that was supposed to be on Sunday and he does him on Shabbos. So he messed up?
Don't you think the parents would intervene?
Believe me, no. Chayav.
What?
So Chazal say, he is chayav a carbon chates. He made a mistake in a mitzvah. You're the moel. Whatever you say, we do. You know, I'm telling you as a moel. That's what parents tell me. You tell me which day. You tell me what time. You tell me what I have to do. I don't know anything about this. Whatever you say, that's what I'll do. If I tell them part of the bris milah ceremony is that you, the father, have to stand on your head, they say, fine. But how come I didn't see anyone else doing it? Your baby is a special baby. That's what he needs. Believe me, parents don't know anything when it comes to bris milah. So if the moel says, give me your baby. The mother says, what? I thought I'm tomorrow. No, you give me that baby. Really? Okay, fine. 10 minutes later, the baby's circumcised, and then they ask the mohel, hey, wait a second, he was born on a Sunday. Wait a second, you're right. I took the wrong baby. So, Chazal say, he is Chayov Chatos.
Half
Shabbat. He had two babies. He had a Friday job and a Shabbos job. And he got confused. He shows up on Shabbos, and they tell him, he says, who's the one to do the bris here? They say, we thought we were. So he says, no, give me the baby. Does the bris. After the bris, they say, but didn't we agree you'd come yesterday? And he says, ooh, you're right. So now, he made a mistake. In the first case of the Mishnah, he made a mistake, and he did not perform a mitzvah in that mistake. Yeah? So here, it's an error in an issue of a mitzvah, and he does not end up doing a mitzvah there. Everyone agrees he's chayav chatas. In the second case of the Mishnah, he made an error in the performance of a mitzvah. He was toe bidvar mitzvah, but he was busy and he did do a mitzvah. So here, Tana Kama holds his chayav chatas. Rabbi Eliezer, who's Tana Kama, mechayav chatas.
In this case, the baby doesn't have a kosher brit.
It is a kosher brit because he's 9 days old on Shabbos.
I'm still here.
And the first case of the Mishnah, yeah, he has a problem. That baby has a problem. He had a brit at 7 days old. He's going to have to do a tafat dam brit. Right?
Tomorrow.
Huh? No. We would wait for the baby to heal and do it then. We wouldn't touch the baby. Once the baby's had a circumcision, he has the din like we learned in last Mishnah, Chole Sheyesh Bo Sakana. He is a baby that's in danger. You don't touch that baby, even for one drop of blood. You leave him to heal. And after he's completely healed, then you'll do a Tafat Dam Brit. But you don't do anything to the baby now. Now you just help him recover.
How long does it take to recover? Generally?
It depends on what you call recover. If you call recover that the bleeding stops, so that could take anywhere from half a minute to about 10 minutes. Sometimes in the back room you have to bandage him again to help the bleeding stop. Depends on the baby how developed he is, because there's a component of the blood that helps the blood clot, and that develops at different times in different babies. And sometimes you could have a baby that looks very big but he's really not so developed, and then you'll see that the navel, the top part that's supposed to fall off, takes a long time. And when you see it shriveled well and it's fallen off already, then you know that he's developed well, his blood is developed well, and then more than likely his bleeding will stop well. It is a function of the moel to an extent, but it is also a function of how developed the baby is. Meaning, you could be an excellent moel and still have to fight to stop the bleeding. In regular circumstances, the bleeding stops with the bandage. You put a bandage and the bleeding stops like... By the time you get the baby in the back room 10 minutes later to double check that everything's okay, the bleeding is supposed to have stopped. You don't touch the bandage. If you'll open the bandage, it'll start bleeding again. It might start bleeding again. But more than likely it will. Some of them like to put on a nice bandage, so they open it up and then it starts bleeding again, then the bandage again. Sometimes you have to, sometimes you don't. But that's the first stage of healing. Then, after a day, you could take off, after 12 hours, it's better to wait a day, you take off the bandage totally, and then the baby usually doesn't start bleeding again. Sometimes when you take off the bandage, he starts bleeding again, you have to start from scratch, but usually not. He might start bleeding a drop, but it's like a drop, and that stops on its own. Then for the next day or two, every time he rubs around in the diaper, if you pick him up not gently, he might bleed a drop, but usually not. You might find a drop of blood in the diaper, usually not. And then it's a healing process, still develops new skin, which is a matter of approximately 3-4 weeks until the new skin really develops.
Urinating in the diaper is not a problem?
No, urine is a great antiseptic. If you're ever in the desert and you don't have an antiseptic, urine is a very good antiseptic. Feces isn't. Urine is.
Okay. So, question?
We tell the parents, change his diaper frequently, wash him off, keep the area clean, you don't want infection. But the infection, we are more concerned for the feces than the urine. Yeah. You had a question?
Yes.
Okay, think, and we'll continue. We'll get back to you. Oh, so the second case of the Mishnah was that he had one bris to do on Friday, one bris to do on Shabbos. And he got confused, and on Shabbos he did the Friday bris. So in this instance, it's different than the first case of the Mishnah in that he did do a mitzvah. Meaning the first case of the Mishnah, when he circumcised that Sunday baby on Shabbos, he didn't do a mitzvah.
The question is, when it's out of time, is it doesn't Shabbat for it tonight?
No, we know you don't do it lechatchila. The question is, b'di'evit, is that sorry? Is that chayav a korban chatas or not? Do we say that when you confuse something and you ended up doing a mitzvah, but a mitzvah that should not have been done on Shabbos, you had no right to be mechal Shabbos to do that mitzvah? He was toa b'dvar mitzvah, the osa mitzvah. He erred within a mitzvah, but he did do a mitzvah ultimately. So then, is he chayav chatas or not? Rabbi Eliezer, Stam Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is who?
Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus.
There he goes, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Do we paskin halacha like him?
No.
What is he called? He is a Shamuti. He is from Beit Shammai's camp. So even though he and Rabbi Yeshua were both disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we say halachically he went with Shammai. So Rabbi Eliezer, we don't go with him halacha. He says, Michayev chatos, toe bidvar mitzvah, vasa mitzvah. Nonetheless, he has to give a korban chatos. Rabbi Yoshua poter. Rabbi Yoshua says, ultimately you did do mitzvah, and so you do not have to bring a korban chatos, because he says, tovid var mitzvah, ve'asa mitzvah, even though the mitzvah you did is a mitzvah that's not doche Shabbos, nonetheless, that's called a mistake that does not have to bring korban chatos, meaning, What do you have to bring korban chatos? Torah says if you made a mistake and you did a biblical prohibition, so then if it's a isur kares, you have to bring a korban chatos. So the question is, what constitutes a mistake? If I was in complete error, I thought that today was Sunday, really it's Shabbos. So that's a different story. But if I forgot it's Shabbos, or if I forgot that this is prohibited on Shabbos, so those are two examples where I would have to bring a chatas. What happens if I knew it was Shabbos, and I know this is prohibited, but I didn't know you have to bring a carbon for this? Meaning I knew it's asur. I knew I was doing an avera, but I didn't know it's chayv chatas. So that's a machlokas. Some say that's called enough of an error to be chayv chatas, and others say not. What happens if I knew it's asur, and I didn't mean to do it, but I did do mitzvah. I meant to do bris that I'm allowed to do on Shabbos. I made a mistake and I ended up doing a bris that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. But ultimately I did do a mitzvah. I didn't do a mitzvah that the Torah would have allowed me to do on Shabbos. But is that enough of a shgaga to be chayav chatos? Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you don't bring a chatos. Rabbi Lezer says, yes. If what my mistake was, that I meant to do a mitzvah that I'm allowed to do on Shabbos, the bris of Shabbos, but I ended up doing a bris of Sunday, meaning I didn't do mitzvah at all today. I circumcised the baby who's not yet fit for circumcision. I didn't do the mitzvah bris. I did a circumcision. I didn't do a bris milah. So then everyone agrees you're chayav chatas. You meant to do mitzvah, but you didn't do mitzvah. The second case, you meant to do mitzvah and you did do mitzvah, but you didn't do mitzvah that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So is that chayav chatas or not? Rabbi Eliezer says yes. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Okay, we have really one more Mishnah that's connected to this Mishnah, and once we do one more Mishnah, we might as well do one more Mishnah to finish the chapter. So let's make a run for it. Katan, Nimolishmona. So if a baby is born at twilight of Friday, we said that baby gets circumcised on Sunday, right? So Katan, a baby, Nimolishmona, might have his bris milah 8 days after he's born. That's normal. What happens if he's born in twilight where we don't know if it's Friday or Shabbos? So then we'll do the bris on Sunday. Letisha. So he might have his bris milah 9 days after he's born, even though he's perfectly healthy. What happens if... Does the Mishnah explain? Just a second. Yeah, the Mishnah will explain. La'asara u'la'achadasar v'le'shneimasar. It could happen that a perfectly healthy baby will have his bris 10 days after he's born, 11 days or 12 days. Lo pachot, can't have it on less days than that, can't have it before 8 days, v'lo yoter, and a perfectly healthy baby cannot have his bris milah postponed beyond 12 days after he's born, as we will see in a second. Ha'ketzah, this that we said, how does that work? Kedalko, when everything's normal, lishmona, he gets a circumcision 8 days after he's born. Nolad leben hashmashot, if he's born on twilight, we don't know if he was born on a Monday or a Tuesday. Nimol letisha, so we do the circumcision on Tuesday, and that might be 9 days after he's born. Ben hashmashot shel erev Shabbat, if we don't know if he was born on Friday or Shabbos, so then maybe he was born on Friday, and we'll only do the circumcision on Sunday. So then, nimol la'asara, he is circumcised 10 days later. Yom tov la'achar Shabbat, so yom tov, it's the same deal. Yeah.
To prove that if it's a safek, then we don't buy a Shabbat. To prove that before safek.
No, because there we said it was safek 8 month or 9 month old. Now by Yom Tov we say the same thing as Shabbos. The only time you will do a bris milah on Yom Tov is if the 8th day falls out on Yom Tov. So now this baby was born on twilight of Friday Shabbos. We don't know if it was born on a Friday or Shabbos. And next week, we would ordinarily do the bris milah on Sunday, which will count as though that's the 10th day, because we're saying he might have been born on a Friday, and that's 10 days afterwards. But let's say the day after Shabbos is a Yom Tov. So then, nimola achadasah, we'd wait until Monday. So then he'd have his bris milah 11 days after he's born. Shnei yamim tovim shrosh hashanah, let's say Sunday, Monday is Rosh Hashanah. So then we'd have to wait until Tuesday, and then he'd be nimol l'shnei masar. He would have his bris milah 12 days after we think he might have been born. Katana chole, if a child is ill, even an illness that's he's got an eye infection. En malino tach yevri, you don't circumcise him till he heals completely. Yes. What'd you miss? Okay. We said, if he's born on twilight between Monday and Tuesday, so we'll do the circumcision on Tuesday, which could easily be 9 days after he's born. If he's born on twilight of Friday, Shabbos, we can't do it on Shabbos, so we do it on Sunday. Because it's a Safek. Maybe Shabbos is the 9th day after he's born. Maybe he was born on Friday. Nudin. Yeah, Nudin.
What's the point of the Mishnah? Is it just like someone smart figured out, maximum is
12
days.
Probably it's a good way to remember the din. Because each din is its own chiddush. The fact that on a doubt of Monday, Tuesday, it's a Tuesday. Saying the fact that even that it's 2 days Rosh Hashanah, that we delay the second day Rosh Hashanah, well, the second day Rosh Hashanah, we're pretty sure it's not really Rosh Hashanah. So we treat it like a Yom Tov, but to push off a bris. So yes, we treat it like a Yom Tov all the way. We do everything on second day Rosh Hashanah like it's first day Rosh Hashanah.
Like one day.
Wait. So
whatever that means, we have to define that term. Once we define it, you won't say that's the reason why, but right now we'll say yes.
Fair enough. So if it's in 9th day, we don't do it on Shabbat.
Correct. Only if it's on the 8th day, do it on Shabbat.
So you're saying every case is a finish, not just.
Right. That's my point. Okay. That the Mishnah had to enumerate all of these, each one is its own chidush. Mishnah Vav? Okay.
Yom Tov Lachem.
If on Yom Tov we would only do a bris if it's the 8th day. So if we're not sure if the baby was born on Friday or Shabbos, so then we would want to do the circumcision on Sunday. But let's say Sunday is Pesach, so you can't do it on Pesach, so you have to wait until Monday. So then he'd have his bris milah on the 11th day.
Even Yom Tov we don't violate for safek.
Correct. It's not a question of a safek. Even Yom Tov we don't violate for a bris that's not bizmano. It's not on the 8th day. Meaning now it's not only a question of Safek. Now it's an issue that's for sure not the 8th day. He was born Safek Friday Shabbos. So Sunday is for sure not the 8th day. Mishnah Vav? Okay, so we'll introduce Mishnah Vav. And someone here was asking me a question about Mishnah Vav. I don't know if he's around. Someone's been asking me a question for the last 2 weeks that's going to be answered in this Mishnah.
What was the question?
We'll deal with it right now. We described last time in our introduction to this chapter how we do bris milah today.
I'm going to put my money on the question.
Yeah.
Which, is there any other day besides Shabbat and Yom Tov that we don't circumcise?
Not that I know.
Even a fast day you circumcise?
Not, I mean, yeah. On Yom Kippur, it's just like Shabbos and Yom Tov. I mean, it is.
If it's the eighth day, which is Erev Shabbat, you did not forget it in the morning, delay it in the morning, but still do it in the afternoon?
Sure, all day you could do Bris Milah. Yeah, all day.
Even Erev Shabbat?
Yeah. We might encourage the person to leave over the Suda for the night, do the Bris in the afternoon, and eat the Suda a little bit later after you make Kiddush. Make Kiddush on Plaga Mincha, except Shabbos, and do it as far as your Shabbos Suda. But that's already a question of Suda Shabbos, not a question of Bris Mila. Mishnah Vav. So, imagine that once upon a time, the Bris Mila wasn't done the way we do today. But rather, they'd peel it like you'd peel an apple. So you're slicing off a layer of skin, and you're trying to cut around and get it, and not touch the part that you don't want to hurt, right? So sometimes you could cut, and you cut off, you peel off like this, like that, the other way. Let's make believe it's a clock, right? So you peel off the slice between 12 and 3. You peel off the slice between 3 and 6. You peel off the slice between, this is the bris. This, meaning imagine that the bris, this is the cut. Instead of cutting the way we describe, you're peeling upward, like you'd be peeling an apple. So... So you peel them right.
Instead of one.
Right. So our way has its benefits, right? So let's say you even did it our way. Sometimes, let's say 500 years ago, they didn't have this magin, the thing that we put in. So you'd pull the skin up and you slice, and then maybe you didn't slice straight. So now when the skin goes back down, you have... No one cares if it's straight or not. The question is, did you slice enough? Meaning there's a little bit of the foreskin that still is coming up and covering the atara, the cherry on top. Yeah? So that is called tzitzin. That's called in the Mishnah tzitzin.
Atara is a crown?
Atara is a crown. And when we say atara, there's a machlokas Rashi Rambam. What do we mean? Is the atara just that rim that goes around? Or is the atara the whole red part that's on top? Now, everyone has the rim and everyone has the red top that's a part. That has nothing to do with circumcision. The question is, do you have a foreskin that's covering it or not? So, we're going to go with the Rambam, we're going to go with the assumption that the Tara is the whole red part that's on top. And if after you've cut, let's say you've cut in a diagonal, so part of the skin, you've removed the foreskin. On one side, you still have a little bit of foreskin that comes up. So that is called tzitzin. When you have something that comes over it, or you could have tzitzin that are from the ora priya, from that membrane that you're supposed to peel down. You peel it down and it comes back up. You have a little bit of dangling skin, it could easily come back up and stick on top, on the atara. So Mishnah Vav says like this, Elu en tzitzin ha-makvinet ha-milah. The following are little strands of flesh that could make the milah, hold back the milah from being kosher. Basar ha-chofe et rov ha-atara. If there's flesh that covers most of the atara. Now over here there's a discussion. What does it mean most? All the way around? Or it means it goes most of the way up? Meaning, does it have to be that you look at the atara, you look at the cherry, and you say, gee, most of it's covered. The skin comes up and covers most of it. Is that the idea?
You use a different word that glandular.
Right. That's a medical term. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. So Chazal say, a person has to use Lashon Nikiya, a language that is clean and clear from any term that's a little bit even dirty, provided that he isn't learning Torah. If he's learning Torah and he is uncertain whether they will understand what he's saying, then he has to use every word he needs to in order to ensure that he is getting the Torah across. That's the Gemara in Pesachim about Lashon Nikiya. So now I'd rather use the word cherry on top to make sure you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm serious. So if you have GLAND, as far as I know,
so
The idea over here is that even if you have a slither of skin that comes up and is covering just most of the height, meaning do we need most of the circumference or is it enough most of the height? And I was witness to a bris that was like this. An Ethiopian made aliyah, and I don't know what kind of bris he had, but he had coming from the bottom a little piece of skin that just went up to the top of the glands, and it was covering that. So that little piece of skin, the little piece of skin, let's imagine this is the gland. So a little piece of skin was over here going down. So you have a 65-year-old man, a little piece of skin that's attached and goes down. It was glued together. Yeah, it was glued together to the gland going down. So I'm standing there witnessing this bris. And the mole, I was just like, I was coming with a guy from Chonir who needed his bris milah done, a ger. And while I was there, while he was in the waiting room, so I said to the operators, do you mind if I look? I'm interested in seeing what you guys do. So they said, no problem. So they tell me, look at that. That's Tzitzina Makvin. That's this Mishnah. So I said, wait a second. Who said he needs a bris? That's a machlokas Rambam Rashi. According to Rashi, that the Torah is just the rim. If that Torah is just the rim that goes around, so then you're right. The second it went beyond the rim, it's covered most of that Torah. But if, like the Rambam says, and that's how we go, that the Torah is all of the cherry on top, so then I told him, why don't you measure? Who said it goes most of the way up? Who said you have to do this to this person? So he said, someone else already paskin, he needs it, I'm doing it. but really, we go like the Rambam, and Tzitzin HaMe'akvin has to be that it's going up most of the way, either most of the circumference, or most of the way up the cherry. Rambam, correct.
Can I take notes?
Sure. So the first thing the Mishnah explained to us is that we have Tzitzin HaMe'akvin. Now this is relevant to Shabbos as well, because when you do bris, sometimes you do a slice, and then you realize, hey, I could fix that a little bit. So the Mishnah is telling you on Shabbos, when are you going to fix it? When it's not yet a kosher mila, when you have tzitzin ha-me'akvin. Let's say you see, it's kosher, it's not the way I'd like it to look. You can't, so long as you're busy slicing, so long as you're still busy with it, so you could continue and fix it up. Once you've picked up your hands and okay, you're finished. That's it. If it's kosher, you can't touch it. So what?
Don't do bris Shabbat.
Someone's got to do it.
I know.
There was a bris two Shabbatot ago.
Yeah, from parents' point
of view. Okay, let's continue.
Oh, you were about to tell a story.
Right.
You stopped.
There's a discussion about how you do bris and Shabbos, meaning what is part of the bris. And there is an opinion that's, we'll call it more stringent, that says that you just do it the good old-fashioned way. Okay. No, not the peeling. But the question is, do you stick in the probe and separate the membrane beforehand? So there was a baby who was born prematurely, or not prematurely, but he was a twin, so it was a pretty small baby. And the people, no, boy and a girl. And the people didn't take me as a moil, which is fine. It's always interesting to be a spectator. And this moil decided that he's being machmir, that he's not doing the separation before the bris. Now, he had an aver that's about this big. So what happens?
The whole thing,
the baby's small. So now he's got to cut off this much, and then he's got this much room to bandage him. Now, not only that, he has to take the skin that's here, the membrane, peel it back. He's got nowhere to peel it back, onto where? Right? And then he's still got a bandage on top of that. So the way you do that type of bris ordinarily is you stick in a hemostat, and you stick it in between the skin. A hemostat is like a plier. And you stick it in between the skin and the gland, and then you close it, and then you ensure that when you pick up the foreskin, you pick it up with the membrane, and when you slice, it's one slice, and then at least you don't have the issue of that membrane and dealing with that membrane on no space. This guy decided, we don't do that. That's how he holds. So I tried arguing with him once, but no can do. So he did the bris his way. And you can imagine it took quite a while. It was a very complicated bris. Because he had to do the bris and then figure out a way to peel it back all the same time where he's got no space to work with, and now it's bloody. I mean, you're dealing with, to try and grab something when it's bloody, not easy. He had a hard time. So, okay, I mean, a bris on Shabbos, when you got to do it, you got to do it. Someone's got to do it. But it's not good for your reputation, I tell you that much. People don't know what you're doing up there, and they're like, what's taking him so long? Okay. Right? I tried that once in my life. There was one bris that people afterwards, not Shabbos, it was a weekday bris, there was something that had to be done with that bris. And after the bris, people came and asked me questions. So I was friendly with the father of the kid, and he asked me to speak. So when I spoke, I said, to those of you who were wondering, when you saw me do this and that, it had to be done. That was the best interest of the baby. It could have been done differently. It would have looked better in your eyes, but it would have been worse for the baby. So it had to be done this way. Any moil that's doing the interest for the baby would have done it the way I did it. I tried to explain it, and I don't think I got one customer from that bris. The second you start explaining, people are like, if he has to explain, then something's wrong. So I don't think you could explain. I learned that the hard way. So the Mishnah says, sometimes, to the parents at least, you have to. To the crowd, it doesn't really work. Okay. Now, we said that if there's flesh that's covering the majority of the atara, the majority of the gland, so then it's not a kosher bris. If it's not a kosher bris, then he is an arel. He is an uncircumcised one. A kohen who is an arel is prohibited from eating truma. A person who is an arel may not bring a korban pesach. So the Mishnah says, ve'inochel b'teruma, and he cannot eat truma if he has this skin that's covering the gland.
So that you can fix up a truma.
If you're in the middle of a circumcision.
No, it's not a circumcision at all.
So we don't do a whole circumcision on Shabbos if it's not bismano. It's not the eighth day. We wouldn't do a circumcision on Shabbos. If it's the eighth day and I started the circumcision and I see that the circumcision isn't yet complete because you still have this amount of flesh, so then you have to take that off. This child is on his eighth day. Now the Mishnah discusses what about a different circumstance. Yeah.
Why does the Mishnah point out the Israel and not the Kohen? And the Kohen and not the Israel? Isn't there more Israel?
Because the Israel is a pasuk in the Torah. The Kohen is a limud.
There's no other applications of no brit mila.
I don't know.
Can you join a minyan?
Yeah.
Can you marry?
Yeah.
All of those?
Yeah. Okay.
A ger who doesn't do brit mila, but
is not a ger.
So if you're born Jewish,
I'm talking about a Jew. I'm not talking about a goy. He's not a ger. That's a misnomer.
Are there any goys here?
That's a misnomer. You can't tell me a ger who didn't do bris mila is not a ger. Yeah.
What? Oh, another word.
Can a woman do bris mila?
Yes. A woman can circumcise a male Jew. Yes. Oh, very good. Okay. Now, what happens? What? It's a good question. That depends on who you ask. Let's continue. No, going back to the time of the Gemara. Not today, who you ask. Sometimes you have a person who has a kosher bris. But he's corpulent. He's fat. Obese. And because he is fat, so what happens is he has the aver. And because he has all this fat, yeah, or as a child. So it pushes the skin up. It's got a lot of skin, and it pushes the skin up. And then you have a situation where he had a kosher circumcision. There's no foreskin there. There's no foreskin. We took it all off. But because he's fat, so the skin bubbles over on top of the gland. So when you look at him, it looks like he has a foreskin. He doesn't. But when he goes to the mikveh, people think, buddy, you need a bris milah. So, v'im hayoval basar, and if he had a lot of flesh, he had a lot of meat, so then the meat causes his skin to go up over the gland, mitakeno, he should fix it, mipenei marita ayin, because he shouldn't look like an RL. There's a concept of maris ayin. Don't allow a situation where people think that you're doing something wrong.
On Shabbat.
Not on Shabbat. Shabbat is only an 8-day-old baby. Here we're talking, this is another din. Once we've discussed skin covering the gland, so we're saying, what about an adult who's obese or a child who's already older and he's fat and he has skin covering the gland, but not due to the fact that he had an improper circumcision, just simply because he has a lot of flesh?
So why wouldn't you be allowed to correct it?
Allowed to? For sure you're allowed to. The issue here is you're obligated to.
Oh, he has to.
Yeah. Mitakeno, he has to take a knife and slice off a little bit in order to ensure that he doesn't look uncircumcised. Now, here we enter a very interesting sugya. Not yet? I assume if we've done this much depth still here, it's worth taking another 2 minutes and learning an interesting sugya. How do we gauge this? Meaning, let's take the average person. When his aver is soft, so let's say it's about this long. When his aver is hard, so let's say it's about this long. Say something like that. Okay? So you understand that if there's enough skin that can stretch this far, when it's soft, some of that skin, by some people at least, will very easily cover it. So you could have a situation where a guy is completely circumcised, and when he's hard, so there's nothing covering anything. But when he's soft, so then he looks completely uncircumcised. That is a machloket, whether he needs to fix, does he have to take off some or not, some skin. And the generally accepted psak is that he doesn't have to take off anything. That the way we gauge whether a person's circumcision was kasher or not is when he's hard. So a lot of times guys come to me, it's one of the questions I used to get every week. Now I get them less often, but one of the primary questions I get as a moel, why? Because I've told people I'm not willing to answer them. No, because it's an issue for Geirim, the Bezdin paskins. So why should I paskin when the Bezdin's going to paskin? Geirim come to me and ask me, well, I need to have mine fixed. So I don't answer anymore. No. But sometimes, even when a person isn't fat, sometimes, it depends on how you gauge it. So how do we gauge it? On a baby, if we want to gauge if it's a kosher circumcision, we push down the stomach. And when you push down the stomach, it doesn't hurt the baby. So that shoots up the... Yeah, like this on the stomach doesn't hurt, believe me. The babies don't cry. I've done it. It's not a big deal. I mean, and then the aver stands, and then you see, is it covering or not? On an adult, so there are tricks how you gauge. And that's when you learn to be a moel, we'll explain. No, it has to do with, you could also push on the stomach, it's going to be much harder because there's a bone there. So that technically you could do that, but it's not so easy. What you have to do is figure out how to gauge, and that's a discussion, how do you gauge? Part of it is knowing how to look at the scar to recreate in your mind what did it used to look like, what is it now, and whatever. So that's that much. When you'll become mo'alim, Bezrat Hashem, you learn. The Mishnah concludes, mal velo para et amila, if he circumcised but did not remove that membrane, he did not do priya ke'ilu lo mal, it's as if he did not do a bris milo altogether. That membrane is me'akev. Without the removal of that membrane, the child still does not have a bris milah. And therefore, even if you've stopped the bris on Shabbos, you feel like you finished, then you look back and say, wait a second, I forgot to take that off. We say, go back and take it off, because the child is still uncircumcised. And being that today is the 8th day from his birth, you have to take it off. Yes? I didn't understand.
Why is milah the membrane?
There's milah of the skin. And then we said there's the membrane that's under the skin. So if he did mal, he did the milah, he removed the foreskin, velo para, and he didn't peel back the membrane, Ke'ilu lo mal. It's as though he didn't take off the foreskin altogether.
The mila is the membrane.
You're saying why I say et hamila?
Is the mila the membrane?
I'm not sure how to explain the words et hamila over here. I could understand it in a few ways, but I'm not sure. So let's leave it as a question. It's a good question.